And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. In today's program, we're going to be looking at a group of reprobates. What is a reprobate? A reprobate is a person who has turned away from the truth, who now is determined to use Satan's power to convert America and Christianity and cast the people of God into a hellhole, into a hellish pit. Now, I'm starting off this program very soberly, and simply let me say that God warns the people of this world that there will be a great, great synagogue of Satan. This is found in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. God warns of the synagogue of Satan. They will kill Christians, persecute Christians. What are we seeing today in the United States but persecution? Who is accomplishing that? Who are the reprobates behind this great persecution? And let me tell you, friends, you say to yourself, I don't have any persecution. I've got a good job. I've got freedom of religion. I can say and do whatever I want. There have been many countries in the world that had this same attitude, and suddenly the world was turned upside down, and reprobates took over the government in Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia. Suddenly, one of the most Christian countries in the world, Russia, became a hellhole, a cesspool. And eventually, according to Solzhenitsyn, 66 million. That's 11 times the so-called 6 million of the Holocaust in Germany. 66 million were persecuted, bludgeoned, beaten, tortured, and they saw death. It was incredible. The world had never seen such horror as occurred during the Great Red Terror. The Red Terror. We have the Reds now in charge of our White House, in charge of Congress. And the Reds have a particular race, but they have enlisted the other races into their conspiratorial circles, and now they want all of us. They want the blood of our kids. The Jews back in the days of Jesus, Pilate said to them, if you want this man Jesus, I don't find anything guilty about him, but if you want him, you can have him. If you want him dead, if you want to see his blood. And the people cried out as one, let his blood be on our heads and that of our children. Today, the children of those Jews still cry out, give us the blood of Jesus, not for salvation. Let us destroy him. The Bible talks about the great nobleman who leased out the land, and the subjects of the land of the nobleman did not honor the nobleman. He did not give him his share, and he sent representatives forth, and they beat those representatives and killed some and said, we don't care about what the nobleman who's gone off into a foreign country, we don't care what he wants. We've got the land. We own it. We control it. Finally, the nobleman, the lord, the absentee landlord, sent forth his son. He said, surely they'll listen to him. He's my son. But the people of that country, meaning the Jews of Israel, seeing that it was the son of God, seeing it was the son of the Lord, said between themselves, they said, why, it's his son come. His son is telling us to give the share that we owe to his father. The son is the inheritor. He inherits everything. We don't need this person. If we kill him, we will be the inheritors. We will inherit the kingdom. And so they took the son, and instead of listening to him, they killed him. And Jesus said, what do you think the Lord will do when he returns? Seeing that these people have killed his son, what do you think he'll do? The scriptures record that the Jews themselves answered back, surely he will kill these miserable men. Miserable. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Miserable men. Homosexual reprobates. They control the necks of a whole nation. And through that nation of Israel, they control the necks of the 320 million Americans. And their representative, Barack Obama, has brought us into the very wicked pit of hell, and we are now a homosexual nation that's honoring transgenders, that's honoring the taking of little kids and turning them into little gay monsters. Now, I'm going to prove my point today that Israel is the gay Mecca of the world. They're the gay Mecca of this is the capital of the whole world for homosexuals. And it's paid for by the Israeli government, who use our dollars. We are the greatest supporter of Israel. We have given them billions of dollars over the years. Billions. We still give them billions in our foreign aid program. What do they do with this money? A great part of it goes for abortions, because in Israel there are more abortions than almost any other nation on earth. Abortion, the killing of little babies. They have a socialist medical system. You get it, friends, a socialist medical system. And every woman in Israel that wants an abortion will get one. And it's all paid for by you as an American, because you're the one that gives all the taxpayer dollars to these monsters. Now, recently, I did some research on this, and what I found made me sick. I vomited when I found out how evil Israel has become. Netanyahu, Shimon Peres, all the leaders of Israel, they are sexual perverts. And they're paying for American perverts to come over to Israel to help them to grow the nation of Israel and continue its conversion into the pit of hell. Now, if you have an idea that Jerusalem is the holy city, you better think again. If you think that the Jews are pious, religious people, and that the Orthodox are the greatest on earth, you better think again. These horrible rabbis are monsters. And they actually are abusing little kids. Now, recently, over the last couple of years, a Jewish young man and his wife visited Power of Prophecy. We had a couple of conferences, and they came to those conferences, and this young Jewish man, let's just call him Benjamin, came over to America from a kibbutz, a farm of settlers where he had resided in Israel. And he came up to me and he said, Tex, do you know about the kibbutzes in Israel? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I lived on one as a young boy. I was raised in the kibbutz. And now I have come to America and I will never leave this country. But I want you to know that I was tortured and molested by the rabbis at a kibbutz. Tortured, sexually abused. They told me I was a god, and they would teach me how to become a greater god, because they were gods. And they sexually abused me, as they do all the young boys. The kibbutzes are molestation centers. I said, well, surely not every kibbutz is such a place. And he said, I don't know of one that's not. And I could tell he was greatly troubled at what had happened to him. Imagine these kids, they're under the control of these settlers, and these settlements are being built by our taxpayer dollars. Billions of dollars keep going into these settlements, being paid for by Netanyahu and the other monsters over there. Netanyahu has contributed to this homosexual revolution, and it is at its peak, and Israel is leading the whole world into homosexuality, into perversion. Now, the Apostle Paul had a lot to say. He was Jewish. He was religious. But what did he warn against? Sexual uncleanness, lewdness, fornication. Paul specifically named homosexuals and sodomites as among those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Homosexuals, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're perverts. Listen to me, lesbian. Listen to me, homosexual. Listen to me, transsexual, transgenders. God did not make you that way. The devil made you that way. And you're cooperating with the devil. And you'll be in the pit of hell with the devil forever and ever. Now, the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu spends millions of dollars, of U.S. taxpayer dollars, promoting a filthy and open display of sexual carnality by Israel's gays. Now, I want to explain this to you. The Jewish rabbis are teaching that it is not lawful, it is prohibited in the laws of Israel and the religious regulations. It's prohibited for a Jew to marry a Gentile. That's intermarriage. It doesn't matter whether they're both white or black or whatever. You cannot marry a Jew with a Gentile. Because a Jew is superior, is another species. They're God people. And the Gentile is a beast. He's defined as a beast of the field. Or she is. Recently, I was reading in the Israeli news of what you might call, in fact, an article in an Israeli newspaper was entitled "The Gospel According to Eli Ben Dayan." Who is Eli Ben Dayan? He's a rabbi. He's the deputy minister of religious affairs under Netanyahu's government. The deputy minister of religious affairs. Now imagine the deputy ministry. Or minister for religious affairs. What is he teaching the people through his high-level position? First of all, he's a rabbi. Second, he's a member of the Knesset, the parliament of Israel. He certainly believes that marriage between a Jew and a Gentile is prohibited. But that's not all. He says that God rates people, puts them in a category according to their sexuality, and that the highest classification is given to the Jewish gay man or woman. Wow. Now, Rabbi Ben Dayan explained that, quote, a Jew always has a much higher soul than a non-Jew. A Jew has a much higher soul than a non-Jew. So we must make sure that the state of Israel remains Jewish. Because Jews have higher souls. But of all the Jews, the one who has the highest soul of all is the queer, is the faggot, is the homosexual, as he calls it. Wow. Think about that. It's okay for a gay couple to marry. They're favored by the tax code in Israel. In other words, a man can marry a man, call it a marriage, live together. A woman can marry a woman. Same-sex marriage. Netanyahu says that's wonderful. That's what Israel does. But you can't marry a Jew and a Gentile. Oh, no. That's beneath the race of the Jew. Now, when folks go to Israel and they come back and they say, oh, I visited the Holy Land. What are they thinking? This is the Holy Land? Not only is the gay person favored by the Jews, they're favored by God according to the Jews. Dan says that they're God people. They're superior, even to the Jew who's an everyday, ordinary Jew, is not as high up spiritually, does not have the soul of a gay person. The gay is superior to all people. Why? Here's what the rabbis are teaching. Now listen to me, you preachers out there, you lying dogs who apologize for everything Israel does, listen to me very carefully. The rabbis are saying that the Jewish homosexual is superior to all other men, even the Jewish straight man or woman. Why is this? Because they're two persons in one. They're both male and female. They're androgynous. They're a mixture of male and female, and thus they have to be superior than to a person whose species is simply male or female. They have been able to combine both genders together in one party. They have to be superior. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And Rabbi Eli ben Dahan is a deputy minister for religious affairs. He speaks for all of Israel. My friends, this is the way Israel treats its citizens. If you're gay, you're favored. And is it not the same way that America treats its citizens? Obama, who is a covert homosexual. We know about him visiting all the gay bathhouses in Chicago. We know about his first White House chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who now is the mayor of Chicago. Rahm Emanuel was a ballet dancer. A ballet dancer. But Obama made him the White House chief of staff. This ballet dancer. He served in the military. Now, that's an honorable position, isn't it? A Jewish man, White House chief of staff. He served in the military. But not the U.S. armed forces. No, Rahm Emanuel served in the Israeli defense forces. Now, the Israeli defense forces favor and love homosexuals. The Israeli Defense Forces are looking for more homosexuals. If they had their way, all the people would in their armed forces would be homosexuals. On their Facebook page, the Israeli military has a picture on their home page on Facebook of two gays holding hands, wearing their uniforms. This is the desired soldier in the Israeli military. The homosexual. Now we just changed our law, and now we're favoring homosexuals here in America. Now there's some out there that are beginning to question whether a Christian can even be in the armed forces of the United States. Well, the Israeli military is one of the world's most gay-friendly forces in the world. It is LGBT friendly. What is that? Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBT. Now, there's a organization in Holland calls itself, let's see here, the Center for Strategic Studies. It's an independent think tank in the Netherlands and Holland. And it conducts research on international security and defense. And every year they name the top countries who have homosexual armed forces. They rate them. And the more pro-friendly gay you are, the higher ratings you get. Think about that. If you have gays and you favor the gays in your military, you get a higher ranking. Very perverted, isn't it? Well, the United States ranked 40th this year. 40th. They say the United States lags behind. What countries does it lag behind? Well, one of the countries it lags behind is Israel. Israel has a bullet. It's on its way up. It's the 10th rated country in the world favorable to gays in the military. They rate the 10 most favorable countries if you're a homosexual. And the 10th is Israel. But Israel is moving up, and America needs better leadership. We need gays at the top to teach us how to convert our masculinity into femininity. Effeminate. Now, by the way, this is an article in Haaretz and other publications. It goes this way. Here's the headline. Israeli military, one of the world's most LGBT-friendly, report says. Now, if you're a gay man or gay woman and you're Jewish, you don't want to waste time in the United States Armed Forces. You want to serve, all right, in the Israeli Armed Forces. And that's what Rahm Emanuel did. Imagine, Obama made him the White House Chief of Staff. He was right next to the president, the White House Chief of Staff. And he's a gay guy, a ballet dancer. And he served in the Israeli Armed Forces and not the U.S. military because he was favored. They say the Israeli military is favored because there's certain perks, you see. Perks, benefits to being in the Israeli military. For one thing, you can have sex constantly. The male and female versus with female. And I guess it's some kind of job training to have sex while on the job. But if you see a Palestinian young fella, 14 to 16, and he looks handsome to you, well, just stop your tank, stop your military vehicle, put a gun in his head, force him into the back of the vehicle, and rape him if you're in the armed forces of Israel. You say, Tex, that doesn't happen. The Israelis are not raping the Palestinian youth. Oh, no. The word's been put out in Palestine. Anytime you see an Israeli vehicle, you better go hide. They'll get you and they'll rape you. They're raping their own soldiers. There's a study here I have that says that a survey found that 40%, that's 4 out of every 10 Israel citizen in the armed forces, admits that they have been raped. Imagine, 40% have been raped. That's mostly males. Now, American Jews go over to Israel and join the military over there. If they want to meet other men, how do? They join the military. They have constant perverted sex. Now imagine how filthy, how dirty, how depraved the Israeli military. When you see the Israeli military, what you're looking at is a bunch of gay perverts. And now they're bringing their perversions over to America, and they're trying to convert the American military forces. Now the Jews don't want to serve in the U.S. military. American Jews believe Israel is favorable to every other nation. They believe they're citizens of Israel. They've never been to Israel, many of them, but they still consider themselves citizens because Israel says every Jew born in the United States is a citizen. Officially, they say you're both an Israeli and an American. But the Israelis in America, the Jews say, we favor Israel. And we're not going to serve in the U.S. military. I want to tell you something. I was in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years. The number of Jews that I met can be counted on maybe one hand. Think about it. I didn't meet people named Schwartz and Goldberg and Goldman and Silversmith. I didn't meet people with those kind of names. The Jews believe they were superior to all other people, and they don't want to serve in some crummy U.S. armed forces. They don't want to learn about our founding fathers, about why we have a military. They want to do what's right for Israel. Whatever is good for Israel is good for me. Now, there was a recent survey made of the world's best gay city. I bet you can figure it out, can't you, folks? What city is the world's best gay city? The number one destination for gays around the world. Love to go there and meet and party with other gays. Must be a bad, bad place. Think about it. Is it Mexico City? Is it Rio de Janeiro? London, Madrid? Toronto, Canada? New Orleans? Oh, it has to be San Francisco. The gay capital of the world. The gay Mecca has to be San Francisco. Is that what you think, dear friend? You're wrong. You're wrong. San Francisco didn't even make the top 10 of gay cities. Now, this survey was put out by American Airlines. They're the ones taking all these gays over there for tours, to meet other gays, to party. It was sponsored also by a group called GayCities.com. I'm going to read it to you directly. Here it is. Here it is. From the Daily Mail in England. By the way, this has been in the New York Times and publications around the world. Tel Aviv. It's Tel Aviv, Israel. Trump's New York to be named the world's best gay city. Tel Aviv. Trump's New York. But New York has 12 million people. 12 million. What does Tel Aviv have? Maybe 800,000? Nevertheless, Tel Aviv is better than New York City for gays. It says, Israeli metropolis beats New York in poll naming the best urban destination for gay travelers. It's the world's number one gay city. 43% of those surveyed said it was tops. New York was runner-up with only 14%. And the third-place city, Toronto, 7%. 43% of the vote. Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Huldai was ecstatic. He said, I'm so happy that Tel Aviv, which is the free city, is pro-gay. But not only pro-gay, but that 43% of all the world's gays say it's the number one site in the world. He said it's a free city. You see how the devil wraps things up? Whatever is good, the devil says is bad, and whatever is bad, he says is good. So the free city is the one that's in bondage to the devil. Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Huldai says that Tel Aviv is number one gay city because it's free. These people don't even know they're in captivity. They don't even know that Satan has them wrapped around his little finger. And they are the gay Mecca of the world. And they're in captivity. They're in captivity. Their carnal passions have got them all wrapped up. They're reprobates. Now, I'm going to show you a lot more when we return in just a moment. I want you to stay with us. I'm Tex Morris. We're going to learn about them. We're going to learn about the homosexuals in the Israeli military and what they're teaching our military. Oh, yes, they are. They're in our armed forces. They're conducting seminars and training for our people and making sure that our military is a gay Mecca, too. It's not a fit place now for Americans. I served 20 years proudly in Air Force Blue, but I wouldn't join again today. It's a wicked, wicked place to be in, my friends. The U.S. Armed Forces. A wicked, wicked place. Their Armed Forces chaplains know what they're up against. If they have any Christian bearings at all, they know what they're up against. They're up against a devil in uniform at high rank. He's put there by Obama and the homosexuals in the White House. And there is a war against Christianity, and it's going on in the armed forces. It's going on in your neighborhood, friends. I'm Tex Morris. I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. It's my newest book. I want you to have it, friend. You've got to have this book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. You know, the Jews are wicked. Over 90% of the Jews are totally wicked, evil. The rabbis are a bunch of child molesters. Very few escape this role because they have for their guide the Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud. Even the name of it tells you the horror of their holy book. They don't believe in the Old Testament. Now, that's a bunch of myths. When you find an Orthodox rabbi and you say, oh, now there's a good man, you just don't know his black heart. You don't know his black heart. He cannot be good. He's a, what the Apostle Paul said, is a natural man. You see, my friends, when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the supernatural. The supernatural. And you have a clean mind, a clean heart. But if you don't have Jesus, there's only one other force that will gravitate into your heart and move your mind to consideration of the natural things. Now, they're not the natural things of God because they pervert the moral order that God has established on this earth. And what did God do even in the garden? He made a male and a female, two. But the Jewish gays say, oh, no, there's only one. Everybody is striving to be gay. That's what the world is to become. There is a scale, a racial scale, from gay Jews that are at the top of the heap all the way down to the goys, the goyim, the beast. People who are not fit to be anything but servants, to serve the Jews. And all of their money, all their riches will be heaped together and given to the Jews during the Jewish kingdom. Now, the Christian evangelicals think they're so wise and so smart. They're smarter than God. God says this temple shall be destroyed. This temple will be destroyed. And his disciples were shocked. How is it the great temple of Herod will be destroyed? It's one of the wonders of the world, they figured. How can our Lord say it will be destroyed? But it was. Jesus' prediction, his prophecies came true. And Jesus knew of the gays. Oh, they existed back then. I want to tell you a little later on in this program about the gay soldiers. Not of the year 2015 or 2014 or 2016. No. Jesus prophesied that the city of Jerusalem would be put under siege by the Romans and would be destroyed. And they were in 70 AD destroyed. And who were those who were fighting against the Romans? It was the gays. The gay Jews all over the world perverted and began to kill and to maim and destroy Greeks and Romans and Germans and Irish and all the other peoples around them. The Jews hated everybody and did not hesitate to rape the peoples, to murder them, until finally the Romans had enough of their wickedness and decided to put a stop to it all. And so the Romans, under Vespasian and then Titus, laid siege to Jerusalem and killed hundreds of thousands of Jews, including these homosexual Jews that fought against them. I'll tell you more about that later. You need to know more about this, my friends. Please get my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Just $25 and $5 more for shipping and handling. A total of $30. This is the only book ever written exposing the Jewish religion. You'll find out what the Jewish six-pointed star is. It denotes the number 666. 666. It's coded into the six-pointed star. It's not the Star of David. It never was the Star of David. It's the Star of Satan. It's known as the Star of the God Rimfan, Kiun. It was the Babylonian goddess who had that same number, 666. They call her the Star Goddess. The Jews took the symbol of the great ancient triple goddess. She was the triple god because her number was 666. 666. Read about Ishtar, Ashtar, and other names they gave this goddess. Semiramis was one other name. Most rabbis, when you ask them where the six-pointed star comes from, they don't even know. Get our new video called March to Zion, Marching to Zion. Rabbis are questioned, why do you use the six-pointed star? And they laugh and say, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. It comes from hell. That's where it comes from. But they don't know. In their idiocy and their hatred of every other race other than themselves. And in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, please, just $20, I'll send you that book. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. You'll find out it's not their race that convicts the Jewish people. It's not because they're of the Jewish race. They're not. It's because of who they worship. It's because of their Talmud. Once you have designed your religion and it becomes the worship of Satan, and you're a member of the synagogue of Satan, how can you do good? You're the natural man. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of Christ. Do you get that, my friends? The natural man does not have Jesus in his heart. That's the supernatural. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. I used to go up to Oklahoma City and see my friend J.R. Church, head of prophecy in the news. And he would say to me, Tex, I really believe these wonderful Jewish rabbis know the truth. I said, the truth about what? When the Messiah is coming. I said, uh-huh. Who is their Messiah? Well, it's not Jesus, but they're very brilliant. They're very wise. I said, they're devils. What are you talking about? Well, don't call them devils. They're godly men. They're not godly men, J.R. They don't have Jesus in their hearts. Well, they're very wise because they know all about Judaism. They study the Talmud and the Kabbalah, and that gives them great wisdom. That makes them the disciple of hell, I said. Oh, no, Tex. No, no, no. The Kabbalah is a great holy book. I said, J.R., you've been deceived. You've been deceived by these rabbis. He said, well, you can't be serious. Surely you don't criticize the rabbis. He said, we've got a rabbi here in Oklahoma City. I consult with him periodically. I said, you consult with a rabbi? Oh, yes. I asked him recently, is the Messiah going to come soon? He said, oh, yes, within the next couple of years, the Messiah will be here. Now, folks, that was 22 years ago. The Messiah didn't come, did he? He didn't come. Been over two decades. J.R. Church is going to be with the Lord. Hopefully. Maybe not. Now, you want either book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, or Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, please go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and you can order them there. powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, and order these books. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to Amazon.com and order these books. Please, do so today. I'm Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Let's return now to our research report on the homosexual reprobates, that is, in Israel, and how they are turning America into a satanic pit and hell hole. You know, friends, I was recently reading in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, the top newspaper over there, that the Tel Aviv is having its new president, mayoral election, and the two candidates are trying to outpink each other. What does that mean? Each one says, I'm a homosexual, vote for me. They want to become Israel's first gay mayor. Now, Tel Aviv is the money capital of Israel. They have Bank America of America there. Now, what is Bank of America doing in Tel Aviv? Well, that's where we put a lot of our money, the American Jews. They have the Israeli Discount Bank there in Tel Aviv. That was the bank that, well, who was the greatest Ponzi scheme artist in history? Bernie Madoff, yeah. That's where he put his money. That's why the people can't get their money back. The Jews stole their money. It's in the Israeli banks. Haven't you read? They said that there's no money left. They don't know where all the money went. And people are going to get a paltry 5 or 6 cents per dollar, if that. Nobody could have spent that much money, $65 to $70 billion. But there's thousands of Jews that have it in their pocket right now. They're laughing at Americans. We stole from you, even from American Jews. They don't care. Bernie Madoff's banks in Tel Aviv. And then if you're going to go and become one of these homosexuals, one of these pinks, you'll want to visit there very soon, of course, because they have the world's top gay festival each year during July, sponsored by the Israeli government. The Israel government sponsors their gay festival. It's the biggest party for gays in the whole world, and they use the beaches of Tel Aviv. They've got fabulous sunny beaches on the Mediterranean. And all the men go down in their skimpy little bikinis, the men. In fact, one of the most popular gay beaches is the Hilton Beach. What is the Hilton Beach? Well, it's owned by the Hilton Hotel. Now, a lot of you people would like to stay at the Hilton Hotel. Oh, yes. You know, Conrad Hilton built this series of hotels around the world. Well, one of them, the greatest and biggest, seems to be the Hilton Hotel in Tel Aviv. It's for gays. They say 90% of the people who stay there are gay. Tel Aviv candidates want to out-pink each other. One of the candidates for mayor is Michael Eden. He's on the city council of Tel Aviv. Now, he says a gay city deserves a gay mayor. Now, I call him a he. His name is Michael, or it could be Michelle. It could be Michelle, because in this article, it calls him a she, or her she. He, she. A gay city deserves a gay mayor, she says in the ads. She's a lesbian. Or he's a lesbian. It's hard to figure out these things nowadays. Of course, Michelle Eden has a higher soul than you and I do, folks. A higher soul. She's a rising God person. She's a gay Jew. There's a hierarchy of the human species. You've heard that some of the Nazis had it. They believe the Aryan race was the highest at that time. Well, the Jews believe the Jewish race is the highest. They're a bunch of racial bigots, too. Now, it's interesting. I want to explain something to you. Right now in Israel, one group is particularly suffering, the Palestinians. The Palestinians. They're the Goyim, you see. And the gays particularly find it very entertaining and funny that the Palestinians are being tormented, being tortured, being murdered, and that the Palestinian straights are being kidnapped and raped by Israeli soldiers. Now, I was reading, get this, folks, from a homosexual website in America called Fagburn. Fagburn, F-A-G-B-U-R-N, had an article recently talked about Fagburn, the head guy of this website, Fagburn. You get the name, don't you? Fagburn. He just got back from Tel Aviv. He attended the gay festival there of this summer. Let me read to you what he says. By the way, his vacation was paid for by the Israeli government, the Ministry of Tourism, that promotes these gay things. They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to promote gays. They won't Tel Aviv to be the gay Mecca of the world. And Netanyahu wants this to be the gay country that's the most popular in the world. And it will be. Oh, yes, I'll give you a reason why in a minute. The Bible says this will be, well, you'll hear about it. But listen to what Fagburn says in his or her website. I don't know what he is or she is. Just got back from an all-expenses-paid trip to Tel Aviv, gay capital of the world. Wow. Okay? These are his words now, Fagburn. Just got back from an all-expenses-paid trip to Tel Aviv, gay capital of the world. Wow. Now, let's continue. Fagburn says, So many hot dudes. Who cares, writes Fagburn, if they have turned the Gaza Strip into one big concentration camp when it's party time here. Oh, my goodness. Think about it. So many hot dudes. Who cares if they have turned the Gaza Strip into one big concentration camp when it's party time here? At the Hilton Hotel and at the other places, the locations in Tel Aviv, they're all partying. They're all having sex with each other. They're all having nightclub rituals, parties, extravaganzas. All the bands are all turned on, and all the people are dressed like the heathen, like devils from Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah in Tel Aviv, the Mecca of the world for gays. And there they are on the beaches in their bikinis and their whatever, little straps, parading with their rainbow flags. And Fagburn says, who cares if they've turned the Gaza Strip into one big concentration camp when it's party time here? Who cares? I want to tell you something, friends. Tex Mars cares. I care if the Palestinians are being tormented. They have no water systems. They don't have any food. Their buildings are all in ruins, been destroyed by Israeli bombing. And their mothers are crying for their dead children. And they're living in the biggest open-air concentration camp in the world. And the Jews are enjoying themselves with one big party of gays. This is the gay capital of the world. And right next door, they're carrying on a holocaust of the Palestinians, and no one seems to care. And American evangelicals come over there all the time, but they never visit Palestine. And they visit Israel and say, oh, isn't this a wonderful country? This is the Holy Land. The Holy Land. There's signs on highways, Arabs not allowed on this highway. There's signs in hotels, no Arabs permitted. No Palestinians wanted. Perverse. And this Orwellian Ministry of Truth promotes these things, takes American dollars and spends it on gay things, promoting the gay rights lifestyle. And they have the Gay Pride World Festival each year. And they're so proud of themselves, they announce to the whole world we're having the World Pride Parade. The Gay Pride Parade in Israel. And Fagburn congratulated the Israeli government for its genocidal attacks on Palestine. Fagburn congratulated the Jews for their quote-unquote killing of children. They're clearing the beaches of Palestinians. Clearing the beaches of Palestinians. They don't want Palestinians on their nice, pristine, bikini-clad beaches. You may have read about the five little kids that were playing, Palestinians that were playing near the beach not too long ago. And along comes an Israeli patrol boat, and seeing these Palestinian kids playing, murdered all of them, just shot them all up, killed them all. It actually made YouTube, they allowed it on YouTube for a couple of days, and it caused such a sensation, got so much traffic, it was viral. The Israeli government said, we can't have this. They're saying what we're doing to the Palestinians. They murder these five little kids playing on the beach. We don't want any Palestinians, no stinking Palestinians here. Fagburn says, they're clearing the beaches of Palestinians because we want to have gay holiday resorts. Fabulous. Fab, said the gay website. It's fabulous to have these wonderful beaches, but we got to get rid of the Palestinians first. Palestinians, stay off our beaches. Now, Americans are going over to Israel, and many of them are joining the military. I'm going to go serve in the Israeli military so I can be a gay and be an Israeli military. Well, I'm glad they're not going to the U.S. Armed Forces. I'm glad they're not perverting our armed forces, but they are. And now, if you say one bad thing about the gays, if you say that God doesn't want men and women to convert their sex into horrible carnality, they'll be punished. I get letters here in the ministry from our armed forces, our men and women, people that I want to be proud of, and I am proud of, but they're under great stress. Recently, a sergeant down here in Lackland Air Force Base got into a controversy. He told the people he worked with, and they told him that they were in favor of homosexuals marrying and so forth. And he said, well, I'm against homosexual marriage because the Bible says that a man shouldn't marry a man. How dare you say such a thing? You're prejudiced, they told him. He said, well, I suppose I am. I'm just following the Bible. The next thing he knew, the guy was standing in front of his commanding officer who just happened to be a lesbian. She said, is it true that you oppose gay marriage? And the man who'd been in the Air Force, I think 18 years, was a career sergeant, said, yes, ma'am, it's true. I follow the Bible. She said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your mind. He said, I can't change my mind. The Bible tells me what I should believe in this. She relieved him of his job, and now he's awaiting court-martial or a military discharge. Why? Because he admitted he does not approve. The Bible doesn't approve. That was what he said. It wasn't just him. The Bible told him that a man should not marry a man and a woman should not marry a woman. But his commanding officer, this lesbian, said, you will change your mind or we'll put you out. It happened at Lackland Air Force Base in my old branch of the military, the U.S. Air Force. This isn't the first time the gays have taken over the Israeli military. It can be traced all the way back to the historian Josephus, one of the most famous writers of all time. You see, Josephus was alive during the Great Revolution, the rebellion of the Jews against the Romans. Remember Barabbas? Remember Jesus? Now, Jesus was slain in 33 AD. 33 years later, just 3 decades later, the Romans brought all of their armed, not all of their armed forces, but certainly a lot of them, under the command of Roman general Titus. And they laid siege to Israel and Jerusalem. What were they doing? Why did they do this? Because the Roman emperor said that the Jews were the most evil of peoples in the whole world. They were rebels. And the fact is, they hate everybody but themselves. And you know, that's what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul, who was Jewish, one of the most learned Jews of his time, said the Jews are contrary to all men. They're contrary. They hate all men. They're opposed to all men. And even to this very day in 2015, the Jews hate others. They despise the Gentiles, all races. They believe they're the superior race. Their Talmud, their Kabbalah says only they will rule the world. We will serve them. The so-called Noahide laws that are part of the Talmud say the same thing. And at that time, when the soldiers of Titus had a tight cordon and were coming into Jerusalem, they discovered that one of the main components, the main factions opposing them, were gays. Gay soldiers. Now, they were degenerates. They were Galilean gangs, and they were gays. And they murdered other Jews and were thieves as well. They were reprobate homosexuals, and they hated not only the other peoples and the Romans, they hated other Jews. Listen to what Josephus wrote. He says, quote, "Not content with looting throughout the city, they unscrupulously engaged in effeminate practices." Effeminate. Plaiting their hair, and attiring themselves in women apparel, drenching themselves with perfumes, and painting their eyelids to enhance their beauty. Yet while they wore women's faces, their hands were murderous. And approaching with mincing steps, this is like a ballerina does, dressed as a woman, with plaited hair, wearing women's apparel, drenched in perfumes, wearing women's faces, they approach with mincing steps, and then suddenly they would become warriors and whip out their swords from under their gaily covered mantles. And they would stab and kill whomever they went that they wished. They were flaming homosexuals running around, surprising people, and pulling out their swords from under their gay-colored tunics and murdering them. This was what the Romans faced, my friends. These Galilean gangs, all Jews. There were other groups there too. There were three factions at least, but this was the one that they hated the most. The ancient homosexual warriors, the Jews, who hated and were contrary to all men. Michael Grant, in his book, The Jews in the Roman World, wrote this. He said, "The Jews destroyed themselves quite as effectively as the whole Roman army could." The Roman army just stayed out there and waited. They just waited and watched until the Jews had destroyed themselves, and then they came in. And the Jews unmercifully were massacred. These homosexual Jewish warriors were murdered by the Romans, who had had enough of their sickening homosexual behavior. And then the Romans took down, stone by stone, the great temple. As Jesus had prophesied, not one stone would be left on top of another. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. I'm telling you, my friends, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the Jews constitute the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. It says that the most wicked city in the world is that city in which our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Israel, the most wicked place in the world. That's where the beast will come up out of the earth. The beast of Revelation. Oh, yes. That's the Jews, all right. The Jews. Oh, they'll celebrate. They'll give gifts to one another. All over the world, the Jews will be so happy. They'll celebrate the death of the two witnesses, but their time will have come. Their time will have come. It'll be too late for the Jews. And Jesus will say, "Come before me." And he will tell his angels, "Slay them all." That's what the Bible says. Their hands, Josephus wrote, are murderous, but their faces are painted like women's faces, and they're drenched in perfume. That's Israel. Stay away, my friends. Stay away from the men who are natural, but do not have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in their hearts. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in during the same time each week and discover the power of prophecy.